Lafondra looking to get Colside of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Empire Rolls preview podcast supported by Phantom Brewco. Well, I've been joined by Jonathan Lowe to talk about the slightly concerning and a little bit worrying trip that we've got on Saturday to Manchester United. How are you doing, John?
Yes, all good, thank you. Yep. I would say I'm looking forward to the weekend. Partly I'm looking forward to the weekend. It'll be a great occasion. Whether it'll be a great match, we'll have to wait and see.
We live in hope, don't we? I mean, the FA Cup, I'm beginning this sentence and wondering if I really believe it myself. You've seen stranger things happen. I mean, it would be a hell of a thing. Manchester United are in incredible form, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. You know, like always in these occasions, you've just got to hope you catch them on an off day. The Reading players perform, outside of their capabilities, and hopefully the two things coincide, and you know, never know, they might pull off a shock win or at least a draw. I think either scenario Reading fans would certainly take right now. So you just never know. I know they say the hope kills you, but I've got a little bit of hope. I'm sure Ten Hag will make a lot of changes to the United side, so it'll be a patched up side because a lot of them won't have played together before, and Ince is going to want to put on a good account of themselves. So if they can stay in the game, as the old cliche goes, for as long as possible, then you never know. You've got the likes of Andy Carroll, Shane Long to use their experience and maybe nick a goal and see where it takes them.
We're all here for an Andy Carroll last minute winner, aren't we? Absolutely fantastic. Well, I mean, just for us to take the lead with Andy Carroll just running to the away end would be the thing that dreams are made of.
But just to score a goal thing, to be honest, because the last couple of times I've been there, Reading haven't even scored. They got pretty close. I think Danny Loader had a good chance last time, and Callum Harriott as well. I think had a couple of good opportunities. So, it'd be good to at least see them on the score sheet. That'd be a nice bonus.
That's a proper throwback there, wasn't it? Callum Harriott and Danny Loader. And Danny Loader, I think, scoring last night for Porto.
Did he score?
Things are going okay for him, aren't he? He must be severely regretting that move. He must be thinking, this is going okay for me.
Yeah, he's done all right, hasn't he? He took his time a little bit over there, but he seems to have settled in well and, going from strength to strength.
Yeah, well, let's just hope that the performance that we put on this Saturday is considerably better than the one that we did at Stoke City, because that was abysmal, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was awful, kind of from minute one, really. It never really felt that like Reading were going to get going, and even Stoke weren't any great shakes, but I think that they made them look not necessarily like world beaters, but by far the better side, and deservedly Stoke ran out comfortable winners. Nothing really fell from Reading at all. I don't think one player could really come out of that with any credit. From the strikers, Mate and Ince did nothing up top. And then, the back line were pretty all over the place. Even Lumley, I know he was unfortunate with a couple of the goals, but it's the third time this season they've shipped four goals, they've lost 4-0, and sixth time overall they've conceded four goals under Ince. So, it's starting to become a bit of a concern, that scoreline.
Yeah, definitely. We don't want to see this pattern, and combine that with the fact that we gave away the two-goal lead against QPR. But let's not try and bring this all down. Let's try and think about positives. The fact is, the FA Cup, we got a week off from the league. We don't need to worry about that. Match is going to look after itself. Paul Ince was talking to you before the match today in the press today. What are the kind of like the highlights of what he was saying?
I think the main point that he wants to get across is that, at the risk of falling into the cliche, play the game, not the occasion. And he talked about the atmosphere and being able to deal with the atmosphere, because a lot of players can be kind of a bit overawed by it, playing in front of 74,000 people or whatever it's going to be, under the lights on TV as well. For a lot of the players, it's going to be their first time there, so they're really going to have to make sure that they block out all the background noise and make sure they put on a performance on the pitch. And you know, you talked about keeping it keeping things tight and compact to as long as possible. And you know, for all the good things that you know Rashford is doing at the moment, it's not necessarily stopping one person. It's about sort of a collective effort and performing to the best of your ability. And if you think about too much about what Bruno Fernandes could do or Christian Eriksen could do, then you know you're not going to get much sleep or good preparation going into the game. So I think, you know, from Reading's perspective, it's all about you know, giving it the best go you can. There's no pressure on them. Everyone expecting Manchester United to win very comfortably. So you know, it's just basically giving a good account of themselves, and you know, even if they do lose, then at least they can look back and say, you know, they put on a good performance, they enjoyed the experience, enjoyed the occasion, they made the fans proud. Basically everything opposite to last weekend at Stoke.
Yeah, totally. I did notice that he did say that he's hoping that Rashford doesn't play, which I kind of like think is almost a certainty, isn't it? I think it wouldn't be that much of a surprise, as you said earlier, they were making 10 or 11 changes, really.
Yeah, it's a weird one because obviously they won 3-0 against Forest last night in the League Cup. So that tie is kind of taken care of. So I think it's for saying if it had been a bit tighter, then he might, you know, rest a couple of players for the next Wednesday second leg. But because that tie's over now, then he, you know, might put out a stronger side. I mean, the reality is who knows? And who knows Reading's side as well, to be honest, because, you know, I think he's going to play a pretty much full strength side. Obviously a bit different to the last round where he made 9 changes. So, but even then, you know, what is Reading's strongest side right now, considering the last couple of performances? But I think, you know, the likes of Tom Ince and Andy Carroll and possibly even Shane Long will be playing just because they've got that experience. They've got that experience of playing at the top level and helping those players who are less experienced, helping them deal with the occasion and hopefully, yeah, like we said, making sure that they give a good account of themselves and stay in the game for as long as possible.
The thought of Loom against Casemiro does massively concern me. But I doubt we're going to see that. You never know. You never know. But sometimes people just have a hell of a day, don't they? The FA Cup has very strange things that happen. But that would be up there with one of the weirdest. If you come out of this with a Loom dominating Casemiro, that would be quite
nostalgic. I know Loom has faded away the last few weeks, maybe in months, actually. But, you know, at the start of the season, we were all raving about him and about how good he was. And he was really sort of dominating that midfield. So, you know, if by some miracle he can recapture that form and really take the game by the scruff of the neck, he can be a real presence in that midfield. And you know, he's got 9 yellow cards I think this season. So if he puts in a crunching tackle, may get a yellow card. But he might, you know, make a few United players sit up a little bit. So yeah, we live in hope.
I think it's one of those games when you don't want to irritate Manchester United too early, because sometimes you see this in these games and then the opposition just goes, okay, so if you want to play with fire, we're ready for this. But we will see. Paul Ince also talked about the possibility of bringing in a couple of midfielders, but he wouldn't say any names. There's been links with Josh Lauren. I guess that's a long shot still, isn't it? But who knows? We'll have to see how it works out.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on the outgoing still, and obviously they haven't got anyone out the door just yet. I think it's no secret that they're trying to get rid of Ovie Ejaria. It's just finding someone who will take him. I mean, Paul Ince said today that he is injured, has been injured. Take that how you want, but you know, he's not going to doubt he's going to sign for another club if he's injured. Not to mention his recent form this season, which has been pretty awful. So you know, it's going to take a big effort to get him out the door, but if they do, then you know, they've got a few players lined up potentially come in. I think Laurent is one of them. So but you know, there's a lot of things that have got to happen in the first instance. I think Stoke are kind of in a similar position to Reading in terms of they need to get some players out before new players come in. I think Alex Neil wants to get his players in and get his, you know, make more of a stamp on the squad. So, yeah, I mean, I imagine anything that does happen is going to be late in the window. We've got till Tuesday, 11 o'clock. But I think, yeah, just for the short time, it's about getting the Manchester United game out of the way, dealing with that and seeing what deals can be done over the last couple of days of the window.
So here's the bit that's going to be tricky, John. What is your score prediction for our game against Manchester United, who are absolutely flying in form? I think they've won something like 11 out of the last 12. They got Marcus Rashford, who is just unstoppable at the moment. And we just lost 4-0 at Stoke. So I'm not building this up in any way, but how would you go for it?
I mean, it's extremely hard to see anything other than a United win. I like to think that that Reading might get a goal, but I think United are going to be too strong and it'll probably be 3-1, possibly 4-1. So, hopefully I'm horrendously wrong, but I feel that there's only going to be one scoreline, and that's United victory.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to go for something similar. I'd probably go for 3-1 or 4-1, but let's see. We'll wait and see how it goes, won't we? Because you never know in the glorious FA Cup, or the magic of the FA Cup, as they like to say. So thanks a lot for listening. Next up, we'll have Alex with a Manchester United fan after this break. Cheers.
Welcome back from the break. We've been joined now by Maisie from Devils United. Maisie, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm kind of dreading this weekend a little bit, but hopefully we'll get by and we'll be able to get through this without me, you know, fearing it too much more. Man United this season, you're not doing too badly, are you, really, under Ten Hag?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not doing so bad right now. There's been a few hiccups starting the season off. When we lost against Brighton, we lost against Brentford, and after that 4-0 loss, especially after that first half, I think Ten Hag realised something did need to be sorted. He put some more discipline into the players and it's worked massively. We've only lost a couple of games since, so I think he's worked very well with the players. The players are very happy, so I'm happy with how Man United is at this moment in time, and it's roughly where I predicted we'd be, if not higher.
Yeah, and I mean, one of those players who's definitely worked well under Ten Hag so far this season has been Marcus Rashford. Do you think he'll play this weekend? I think he's scored 18 goals now this season, which, when you look at what he scored last year, it just seems like an incredible turnaround for him.
Mm-hmm. From what I've read is, Ten Hag has said to Rashford, right, I've got belief that there is a good player in there, going to work with you. And from what I've heard, both Ten Hag and Rashford done a little bet is to see if he could get 30 goals and assists in a season. So I think that's give Rashford as well that tiny bit of hunger. But I think he's been absolutely amazing. He's been a key player for Man United, but I can't see him starting. Maybe come on as a bench option, but because there's other players there like Alejandro Garnacho, I think he will be playing a lot more minutes this weekend against Reading.
Yeah, I think it'll be a push to see Rashford starting really this weekend. I think he's starting in the League Cup game, which we're recording during the middle of, and he's scored again tonight. So it would maybe be a struggle to see him starting this weekend. But you mentioned Garnacho, and you think he'll start. Obviously, he's kind of slowly coming through the Man United academy. What other kind of Man United prospects should we be looking out for this weekend who might not be appearing on Match of the Day every week?
I think potentially we might see Kobbie Mainoo. He plays as a defensive type midfielder plus a slash box to box midfielder. Ten Hag gave him his debut against the Charlton game, so I think that could be a potential option because we're a bit short in the midfield right now, especially knowing that Donny is injured now till the rest of the season. I don't think Ten Hag gonna want to play Casemiro, so it's out of the options of it. If he was going to play 4-2-3-1 for the pivot, it's either going to be Eriksen, Scott, Fred, Kobbie Mainoo. And I can't see Eriksen potentially starting just because he started a lot of games, and I don't really want to risk Christian Eriksen as well, just because we don't want to knacker him out. And I think as well we should be helping him the best as possible for his kind of development too.
With the fact that you've got, you know, I mean, I don't know how many games it is, but I've seen Man United fans complaining about the fact you, I think it's like 8 games in 23 days or something crazy.
Yeah, we've got 8 games in a month.
With the League Cup, right?
8 games in a month. That's including Barcelona, both home and away. But to be honest, that's something what's been caused by Man United. Man United fans will complain, saying it was the penalty for Real Sociedad. But I look at it and say, we just wasn't clinical enough on that day. We shouldn't have allowed it to the point where we're moaning over a penalty. Should it have been given? Should it not? That doesn't matter anymore. The fact is, what I look at now is we should have been a lot more clinical in that game. We should have had a lot more shots on target, but we didn't. And that's how I look at it. Is I don't blame things what's happened. I blame of what we should have done better as a team.
Yeah, the fixture congestion is going to, I guess, cause quite a lot of rotation going forwards. So, as you say, if you see Garnacho play, if you see Cody Gatro play in midfield this weekend, it maybe wouldn't be that surprising, given you've got Forest tonight, Forest again next week, and you know it's a chance for Man United potentially to try and go and win a trophy. It'll be the first one in what, 5 years. It's been a bit of a drought for Man United over the last few years, and it feels like at some point it's got to end somewhere. Do you see the cup competitions this year as being a reasonable kind of chance to go and get a trophy?
Ten Hag said at the very like when he first came that his priority is to get top four or to get into Champions League, understandable. But he's also said is whoever we play against, we're taking every cup seriously. And I think Ten Hag is going to want to break that kind of trophy drought, because we didn't win anything under Solskjaer, and the last one we actually won was the Europa League plus the Carabao Cup in one season under Jose Mourinho. And for me, I feel like some United fans are quite fussy, like, I don't want to win no Carabao Cup, it's only an energy cup drink. But I look at it and think it's a trophy, and that's something that I think that Manchester United and even the players who haven't won a trophy under the club and not won for a long time, is we need to start getting that kind of mentality back to think, right, we want to aim for every single final. We don't want to look and go, that's just a silly cup game. I'm just going to play crap because it's against such and such a team.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's one of those tournaments that often you kind of like get people looking down on it until you get to the semi-final. And I mean, the FA Cup kind of has that same reputation, I guess. It's until you get to the later stages, often teams don't necessarily put out their full strength, and they're not necessarily thinking that they've got a chance to win it. And I mean, this weekend might be similar, but it does give an opportunity for teams like, you know, Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, to actually, Man City, to go and win a relatively straightforward trophy. Kind of as shown by Man City winning the League Cup, whatever it is, 4 years out of 6 or something, five years out of 6. Obviously, we've played Man United in the FA Cup. It feels like we've played Man United in the FA Cup every year for about 5 years now. It's not quite as often as that, but I think this is the fourth trip in 10 years now for us to Man United. And the last three haven't been very successful. We've struggled to really get anywhere. I think the last time we played up at Man United, it was 2-0. We played there in 2017 and we lost 4-0. Do you think there's any kind of chance that Man United will struggle defensively against Reading, or do you think that you'll kind of push through and claim a clean sheet like you have against Charlton and kind of lower league team in the League Cup recently? And then obviously, although you conceded at home to Everton, you still went on to win the game quite comfortably. Do you think it will be one of those games where you do go on and kind of put the game to bed quite easily?
Mm-hmm. I think for me is that in terms of the clean sheets, it's all dependent who we play against, who we play. We've got some players in there where they're so good in the you've got like Varane and Martinez, so good in the first team. They're undroppable, especially for the league, the Europa League. But then it's like we can't always play them in the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup, especially knowing Varane's so injury prone. So then you look and go, who's the alternatives? Lindelof. Okay, Lindelof's not bad. Then you look at Maguire. Okay. Then you look at it again, Phil Jones, and you're like, okay, okay. It's just kind of, it's a big, massive drop-off point from who your regular first, who your regular centre-backs are to who is there's your potential bench options.
Not a lot of squad depth.
No, not a lot for me. There is squad depth, but I just don't think they're good enough quality. I think if there was going at other clubs, some other clubs would absolutely probably snatched the chance of having Lindelof and snatch. I like Lindelof, so I'm not going to criticise Lindelof, but like a lot of teams will probably snatch up the chance of having Maguire, having Phil Jones, and just because they would improve them. But I just look at it and think it's just, it's the lack of concentration, it's the injury prone, and a lot of players, when they don't play, they're very rusty, and you've noticed that a lot in games.
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly seen that when players have come back for Reading this season, they've really struggled to get up to speed quickly when they've been out for from injuries, or whether they've been out of the side for a while, they've struggled to kind of get up to speed. So yeah, certainly kind of know how that feels. And I mean, if you do see some rotation this weekend, obviously we've kind of spoken about the academy players who might be rotated in. But do you think we'll see kind of a second 11 for Man United? Because at the moment, you're playing against Nottingham Forest in this Carabao Cup semi-final, and it appears like you've played almost a full-strength side. But then we look back at the Everton game, which you played in the Cup a couple of weeks ago to get to the fourth round. And even in that game, it felt like Man United played quite a strong side still. I mean, Casemiro started and Rashford started and De Gea started in goal. So do you think there's going to be rotation, or do you think it will kind of be like Man United will put out just a strong side anyway?
I think based off the amount of games we've got coming up, we've got no choice but to do rotation, because there's going to be injuries later down the line. There's no choice but to play Aaron Wan-Bissaka, because Dalo is injured and not too sure how long Dalo is out. So I know he's definitely going to be one who's in the squad. Who's going to be? I think we could have a rotation in the goalkeeper. Could Jack Butland make his debut? Not overly sure, but I actually didn't mind Tom Heaton when he played against Charlton. I think he actually put on a good shift, so I'm not overly bothered. I think Malassi will probably still play after tonight's game as well. He tends to be Luke Shaw's backup. But in terms of everything else, I think we'll probably see Scott, Fred, maybe. And I think we could even have... Sorry?
Weghorst up front, perhaps?
I think maybe Martial might play if he's fully fit instead. And I think we could potentially see Palestra if he's coming off the bench or if he's starting.
I mean, Martial up front worries me a lot, because... we can go into the strengths of Man United and where you're strong and where you're not. But I think most people listening have probably got a fairly good idea as to, you know, Martial is a quick player and Reading are not a quick defence. So it pains me to hear that you might start Martial, because I think he'll just have some of our defenders on toast, really. However, you know, however poor people think he might be, I think he's probably going to have us on, you know, just completely just go through our defence like a knife through butter if the ball comes to him on the floor. I don't know how much you've kind of watched of Reading this season, or whether you've seen it at all. Obviously, Paul Ince is the manager at the moment. What's the kind of been the reaction to Paul Ince coming back to Man United this weekend? I think it's from the outside, from a media perspective, it seems perfect, but I think Man United's perspective from a fan point of view might be quite different.
Yeah. The media might portray it differently, but if you spoke to a lot of Man United fans, they're not a fan of Paul Ince, just based off how he was as a player. So I personally don't think that he will get a good reception. Not that it's about Reading at all. I just think as a manager, when he comes out, he may potentially get a couple of boos, perhaps, because of how he was to us. But
Paul Ince is well used to that. He gets booed most fans he goes with Reading and Championship as well.
Yeah, I don't think he'll have the best of receptions because a lot of Man United fans don't like him. They've not forgiven him. So he'd be lucky if he got a good applause, let's just say.
And I think I think Paul Ince's managerial abilities is not necessarily going to get shown in the greatest light against Erik ten Hag, unfortunately. But if he can put up a reasonable performance this weekend and we don't embarrass ourselves too much, then I think most Reading fans will go home happy. We're bringing a relatively small allocation. I mean, in terms of ticket sales, I think Man United are inevitably going to sell this game out. And then if Reading get a draw, big if, I think the replay's in 10 days time or so, which will, I'm sure, frustrate many Man United fans if there is a draw, because we'll be adding to that fixture congestion. But what do you think the score will be on Saturday?
I've gone for a 2-0 for Man United. I don't think it's going to be a hammering at any point, just because I think Reading are a tough side to play. I think a lot of championships sides are a tough team to play, and this is the problem with a lot of teams, is that championship teams, League One, League Two, get very underestimated. And the beauty of the FA Cup is you see the teams like progress further. And as I've already mentioned, like, you've seen Nottingham Forest, who's done it. You've seen great performance from Sheffield United a couple of weeks ago. So it is doable that we could get a draw. It's doable that you could win, but I'm not going to come over the top and go, we're going to win 5-6-0. I'm going to go for a 2-0. I'll stick with a 2-0.
I think most Reading fans will be very happy with a 2-0. Like, as defeatist as it sounds, I would be more than okay if we only lose 2-0 this weekend. It's unlikely Reading are going to go ahead and win the FA Cup this year. So a 2-0 loss, and I think most people will probably go home without too many complaints. I have to say, I haven't really done that well in terms of predicting Reading's results this season with our inconsistency in our form. So maybe I'm going to be wrong. Maybe we'll pick up a draw. Thank you for joining us today, Maisie. You can find your social channels on YouTube.
YouTube, Devils United, Manchester United content, men and women's football. So I do both on there. And my Twitter's at 2_MUSCMaze. That's my personal Twitter, if anyone wants to check me out and see more views of myself.
We'll drop your socials on Twitter when the podcast goes up, obviously. And we will be back on Sunday with a review of the game from Saturday evening. Given that the game is kicking off at 8, it won't be until Sunday because no one's going to be home until after then. But we'll be back on Sunday with a roundup of the Man United game. And fingers crossed we are talking about a famous Reading victory. Thank you again, Maisie, for joining us. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Cheers.